Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. Our guest today is Tom Palladino, a scalar light researcher who believes that scalar light technology will serve to improve the welfare of humanity. Today, we'll discuss the benefits to be derived from this new technology that some people call Tesla energy. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey Johnny, a pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
You're welcome. Tesla energy, I like it already, but tell us, scalar energy, what is it and where did it come from?
Scalar energy is from the sun, from the stars. Why do I enjoy this topic? It's free energy. This is not electricity. Some people call it Tesla energy. Tesla was the first man to control, to harness scalar energy from the sun and the stars. So we're going to explore this new science that really beckons perhaps free energy prospect for mankind, the energy of the stars.
Free energy. I'm sure there are certain groups out there that would obviously want to prevent that, but that's probably a discussion for another day and probably on another show. So how did you discover this energy? And more importantly, how did you find yourself on this path as a researcher?
It has been a path for the past 50 years that I've studied this. I was enthralled with Nikola Tesla as a youngster. I studied Tesla. And I wanted to make this a career of pursuing this type of research, scalar research, what some people might call zero-point energy. It's been private study. And the reason I say that, this is not taught by academia. Scalar energy is not entertained today by academia. So there's two energies, electricity, electromagnetic energy, and scalar energy. I prefer scalar energy. It's much easier to work with, and it's free. It offers, again, just great benefits to mankind. So it's been a long journey, well worth it, but it's been a journey of private study.
Is it true that scalar energy can transmute matter?
Yes.
And if so, like, how does that actually happen?
Thank you. Now, that's just one of the features of a scalar energy instrument. I have scalar energy instruments that can transmute matter, change matter from one molecular form to another molecular form. Now, how does that happen? Through intelligence. If my two fingers represent a molecule, I am saying that scalar energy can break down that molecular bond and then reshape or reform a molecular bond. For instance, it's been shown that scalar energy can take hydrogen and oxygen, those two elements, combine them into the polar molecule water, H2O. So you could actually transmute two elements into water. You can do that through scalar intelligence. And that's one of the features that I've discovered with scalar energy. It's intelligence. It's the intelligence that holds together the physical universe. So this is the easy way to manipulate matter.
On your website, which I believe is scalarlight.com, one of the prominent titles, as it were, is quantum healing. So what does this have to do with quantum healing? And that brings up questions about the quantum realm and all the metaphysical things and so forth. How does that figure?
So we would have to define our terms. What is quantum? Well, many people say that's non-physical physics. That's non-physical energy. And if that's the case, I would agree with that. So I am using scalar energy instruments, which is a non-physical capacity. All of my instruments work with scalar energy, and we're able to send instructions, energy that is instructive, informational. Bear in mind, there's no electrons in scalar energy. This is not a flow of electrons as electricity. And when we're using this energy, we can benefit by it because we can assemble what we want, transmute a favorable molecule, or break apart something that is disadvantageous, something that's harmful.
Now, what are some of the other things that scalar energy can do that electricity cannot?
I've discovered in my laboratory, when I'm working with these instruments, that I can broadcast this energy at a distance. And in so doing, and I have to make this very clear, when I broadcast this energy, I'm not working with people. I'm working with photographs of people. Now, keep in mind, this does not behave like electricity. I hold up my photograph. I can actually take a photograph of a person, place it inside a scalar energy instrument. The instrument will look at the energy or the intelligence on a photograph and then find a person through that medium, through that interface. So a scalar energy instrument works in a non-physical informational capacity. I can identify a person through their photograph, much like you and I are having this conversation through our computer. So if we can communicate through a computer, then I can communicate through a photograph. Now, obviously, you cannot communicate through a photograph through the electromagnetic realm. I've never seen that. But you can do that in the scalar realm.
That brings up another point in question, because with the advent of AI, which seems like it's almost taking over the world, what implications does that have for scalar light, and what kind of things can reasonably be accomplished?
Yes, thank you. So if you look at artificial intelligence, that seems to be a programming in which supercomputers can be programmed to think through, to reason, to conjecture, if you will. Now, when I work with a scalar energy instrument, I will call that universal intelligence, not artificial intelligence, universal intelligence. And you don't have to program because the intelligence pre-exists. This is not a computer program. I simply access this realm of vast intelligence in the universe. So it's not a computer. It's the intelligence, the quantum intelligence of the universe. And the way I can prove that is when I place a photograph inside my instrument, I don't have to identify the person. The instrument can identify the person and find that person. So it doesn't work like a GPS unit where you have to triangulate. No, this instrument will automatically find a person and understand the energy signature or the disease pattern on that person through the photograph. So there's no human reasoning. There's no computer programming. It's a knowing. If artificial intelligence is the artifice of man, it's the work of man, scalar energy is the mind of God. It's a big difference.
I would say so. Very interesting. So do you think, regardless of what happens with your work in the not too distant future, can we expect to hear more about this, about scalar light, or not necessarily?
We will. On account of the benefits, the results that I'm having. For instance, I have great results to manipulate matter. What type of matter? I can manipulate a virus. And people from around the world who send me their photograph, again, only through a photograph, I can identify a virus and eradicate it in the quantum field. So if our computer conversation allows us to converse, and we don't have to have a physical connection, we can converse, if you will, through the airwaves, then I can address a viral infection through the airwaves at a distance through a photograph. Now, if I can prove that, and if I could break apart a virus or a bacterium in the quantum field, well, then yes, this will gain acceptance as a means of quantum health. It's not a biological process. It's an informational process. And if I can prove it and the world sees the benefits, then it's just a matter of time before this unfolds and people discover other benefits. Now, I'm only one researcher. Imagine if there were 10,000 researchers in the advance that we can make.
I've never, ever heard of this before a few days ago. And if AI is the artifice of man, scalar light is the mind of God. That has some pretty big implications. Speaking of God, you apparently think that scalar light, right, the energy represents a convergence between science and spirituality. How did you figure that out?
Even though I have scalar energy instruments, I'll hold up one of the instruments that I'm working with. That's a scalar energy instrument, okay? And this indeed allows me to access the scalar energy realm. Nonetheless, when I turn this instrument on, I do not have to program it. I do not have to think. So this is the engineering. And yes, there's a great deal of thought and engineering expertise behind this. But in operation, you don't instruct the energy. The energy does all the work itself. You don't have to modulate the energy. You simply turn the instrument on. And once this instrument on, it performs a function anywhere in the world, and nothing can impede its propagation. So what am I getting at? I could work with people throughout the solar system. My predecessor, a man by the name of Hieronymus, worked with the Apollo 11 astronauts while they orbited the moon. He's the original inventor. And he found that the astronauts received the signal while they were on the moon, walking on the moon. And furthermore, when the astronauts in the lunar module circled around the moon and NASA lost communication with them when they were on the far side of the moon, Hieronymus, the inventor, had a continuous, uninterrupted signal from the astronauts when they are on the far side of the moon, demonstrating that this is not electricity, it's not the electromagnetic spectrum. And even though the radio waves were lost or attenuated from NASA's standpoint, the inventor, Hieronymus, working with scalar energy, kept in constant contact with the astronauts while they circled, orbited the moon. That's quite profound. So what's my point? Nothing can impede this energy. Not even the moon can block its signal.
Another thing that just came to mind, because we're hearing a lot of noise, which I think is just the beginning with AI, that it can be manipulated. I believe Elon Musk wants to come up with a truth GPT, but based on what you're telling me, it doesn't seem like this can be manipulated. Am I right?
I think you're right, yes. Right. It's pre-programmed. This is not the programming of man. I believe this is the intelligence of God, or what some people call consciousness. I'll go to that extent. My instrument is a consciousness instrument. This controls intelligence of the universe, consciousness, what some people might even call Christ consciousness.
Speaking of Christ consciousness, have you experienced any kind of events that would fall into that category? Mystical experiences, experiences with the non-physical world.
Yes. Many times when I work with people, people report that their dream state is enhanced, or that they have a significant recall of past events. So that apparently this energy, this quantum energy consciousness, is in some way instructing their mind or allowing them a recall for events that are past. Now, keep in mind, I'm only working through their photograph. But this connection of a photograph in the realm of consciousness opens up that universe, if you will, allows people to achieve a more enhanced dream state. Now, I'm not a dream therapist, but this instrument automatically opens up what would be perceived as the chakras, or to be perceived as brain waves or conscious or the subconscious mind. It's quite profound. And again, there's no maneuvering on my part. The energy does that automatically. So what I perceive is this realm of consciousness that I access through my instrument.
It's almost like you're tapping into the river of consciousness.
Yes.
Because it's already pre-programmed. So
yes.
Apparently, scalar light can also balance the chakras. You just yes. mentioned chakras a minute ago. And the meridian points. How did you come to learn that?
Well, if we study literature from various cultures, it's been considered everybody has seven chakras, or at least seven major chakras. And it's always assumed that they spin. Well, that's the very character of scalar energy. It's a waveform. It's a double helix, and it moves like a corkscrew, or it spins. So what ancient technology, what cultures millennia discovered is now being verified by science. A scalar wave, a longitudinal wave, rotates. And that is the very fundament that causes our seven chakras. So what is the point? Our chakras spin on account of the fact that they are a function of scalar energy. You have spinning, rotating scalar energy, a vortex, and that creates the seven vortices. So the best way to function or access or interface with the chakras is with the chakra instrument, which is scalar energy.
If this is really happening, then the possibilities are almost endless. I'm going to go out on a limb here,
yes.
because apparently you also believe that this energy, scalar energy, can transcend time and space.
Yes.
What are the mechanics of that? And again, how did you come to know this?
Yeah, much of my wisdom, knowledge comes from God. You don't learn this in a college classroom. So let me describe it in this fashion. If there is a river, as you described, there has to be a river of time, and the river moves. Well, what causes that movement? It's a scalar wave, meaning if scalar energy rotates in one direction, time moves forward. If you reverse that energy, then time moves backwards. It's that simple. There has to be this fundament of time. Time is the effect, it's not the cause. It's always energy, light. Light is the cause. Light is that fundament. And therefrom, we see the effects. Well, the cause and effect of scalar energy is time and space. Now, I can prove that in part. There was a Russian by the name of Viktor Grebennikov who had a flying platform. It was an anti-gravity scalar energy platform. When he was aloft in this anti-gravity platform, time did not advance. He had a wristwatch on, and his watch never advanced. So in a perfect environment of scalar energy, you're not seeing that movement of time. So you're not seeing that forward motion, so to speak. So it's quite phenomenal. Every time Grebennikov was on his flying platform, his scalar energy force field, his wristwatch did not advance. When he returned to Earth, he observed that every clock had advanced with the exception of his wristwatch. So his watch did not observe time in a scalar energy force field, meaning he was outside of time in a scalar energy force field because he was the cause of time. When you're immersed in scalar energy, you're a part of the cause of time and you're not subject to time. When you're outside of a scalar energy force field, then you're subject to time. Now, he observed that time and time again. And that's a great indication that a scalar energy force field is the cause of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Many times we've heard of intuitives talk about how, for instance, one woman I interviewed said there are no such thing as past lives because all lives, past and present, are all happening at once. Yes. Is that in any way related to what you just tried to explain?
Exactly.
I find very hard to understand. I'm also told that when intuitives and mystics, if you want to put it that way, enter in that type of space, they always say, I can't explain it in a way that you're going to understand it on Earth.
And Johnny, you do understand it, but there's two explanations. You cannot explain the scalar energy force field by way of electricity and magnetism. The two force fields, the two energies are different. In other words, in the world that we live in, the electromagnetic world, there is time. Time does advance. In a scalar energy world, you're outside of time. There's only one time, the present moment. This is why that Russian scientist who had an anti-gravity instrument, this is why his wristwatch never advanced. In a scalar energy force field, there's only one time, the present moment. Your watch cannot advance in a perfect energy force field. Now, there's two explanations for reality. Why? There's two dimensions. And once we realize that there is a second dimension, this is another textbook. This is another physics textbook that has to be written.
Actually, I've been told that there's even more dimensions than that, but that's probably a completely different subject, I think. If it's true that scalar energy works outside of time, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
It's outside
it's
of time?
It's not subject to time, yeah.
Let's consider for a moment the intuitives, the mediums, the psychics, and Akashic record readers, those type of practitioners that try to pierce the veil. They try to get answers for loved ones who were grieving and just for other people that want to know who they were in the past, et cetera, et cetera. Could this technology actually aid in those type of situations, or does it not apply?
It does apply directly. I believe people with the gift of prophecy or the gift of to see the future, the gift of clairvoyance, and these other gifts are scalar energy gifts. In other words, we can only explain this supernatural realm when we're working with this supernatural energy. There are some things in this world that we can only explain through the electromagnetic prism, so to speak. But yes, the supernatural world can be explained readily by the scalar energy realm, which is really the spiritual realm. It's a non-physical energy, and hence it involves this all-knowingness, this non-physical spiritual realm. That's what I'm working with. I can't accentuate that enough. Scalar energy is non-physical. It's pure essence. It's the essence of God. It's divine. Scalar energy is a divine energy.
Take that a step further, this energy, you had mentioned that it at one point when the astronauts were on the dark side of the moon and they lost their signal, the inventor still had a constant, reliable signal to the astronauts. Yeah. So does it stand to reason that this could possibly be used to contact star beings, maybe even in other galaxies or even in other places that might be outside of, is that possible?
There's a great scientist, his name is Kozarev. To answer your question, yes. Kozarev developed telescopes in which they were scalar energy telescopes, and he could find the exact position of a star at that time in the universe by way of these scalar energy telescopes. Now, keep in mind, if he could do that, then he's tapping into the scalar energy spectrum, and you find the exact position of a star, not the position of a star light years past. Does that make sense? So a scalar energy telescope, and Kozarev had developed them, could pinpoint the exact position of a star, which is different than the electromagnetic energy that we receive, which is the past, the previous position of a star. It's already been done. Kozarev developed that technique. So in the scalar energy realm, everything is in the present moment, including the stars. When we look at the stars now, we have to take into consideration that light has taken light years to reach. If we could, with the naked eye, look at the exact position of the stars, it'd be in a different position.
Really? Okay. I never really thought of it that way. But based on what you're telling me, it seems that the mystics and the intuitive type people would really and should, by all means, embrace this, at least to try and learn more about it. But I've never heard anybody bring this up until a few days ago.
Scalar energy is the perfect communication system, which is outside of time and space. This is an all-knowing type of energy. And as such, there is no past, there is no future. Everything is in the present moment. So everything is laid bare, so to speak. You can see all of history. You can see all of human history in a flash, so to speak.
A woman that I interviewed told me once that her mentor, which I believe was Dolores Cannon, had a conversation with Nostradamus across time. It's an amazing idea. I'm thinking, is that really possible? But with scalar energy, is that feasible or is that still a bit of a stretch to literally contact someone who lived in another time?
It's the norm. Now, many people believe in heaven. What is heaven? It's a perfect scalar energy state. If scalar energy is divine, and you go to heaven and you're with the divinity, then you're in a perfect scalar energy state. You're in perfect divinity. You're residing amongst the divine. And in so doing, there's no electricity in heaven. No.
I'm not sure they would really need it, right?
Exactly. They don't need electricity. So if you're in a perfect divine state, you're immersed in perfect scalar energy. And in so doing, it's perfect communication. You can communicate with anybody who's ever lived, past, present, and future.
So I could, like, contact David Bowie tomorrow if I knew how to use this.
Yes.
He'd probably like this idea. I bring that up because I'm about to interview a woman who, long story made short, is writing a book called The Metaphysical Leonard Cohen, where she literally enlists the services of medium and they record, like, 6 hours of sessions, but they're really actually making a connection that maybe Leonard Cohen and his buddies already know about this.
Yeah.
So have you had conversations with other people about people that have moved on? They've transitioned. They're in the afterlife. What kind of implications does this energy have for someone that wants to make contact with people that have moved on?
I think if God would allow it, then it's the perfect means of communication. This is the divine realm. And if it is the divine realm, we could either access that through our brain waves, okay, or through our dream state, if you will, in our brain waves. Or if God allows that, then yes, to me, this is the gateway for prophecy. To me, this is the gateway to foretell the future. As far as I'm concerned, this is the gateway of great scientific achievement. This will be the gateway, if you will, of intuition. So this new science opens up an entirely new vista, an entirely new opportunity, which communication is the norm. It's instantaneous. And there's no impediment to this communication, past, present, and future.
We don't really know whether God is going to allow this or not.
Right.
Many of us don't even know what God even is, whether it's a he, a she, or does not have a gender, or is an energy source. So I know there's a lot of people use that word source, which is like a non-denominational type descriptor, so we don't get mucked up in the religion part of things. You have a lab. What are some of the experiences that are a bit extraordinary working with this type of energy?
Many times when I've worked with this energy in the summer, if there's a lightning storm, the instrument itself will start to spark, produce small lightning bolts. Now, why? Because scalar energy is a lightning bolt. Anytime you have this discharge of lightning, it initiates a scalar energy. And my instrument starts to communicate with the clouds, so to speak. My instrument will experience lightning bolts during a lightning storm. So there's a communication between the scalar energy lightning and my scalar energy instrument. I was flabbergasted when this first happened during my first thunderstorm, but then it all made sense to me. It's a perfect communication system. So you have lightning in the clouds in the atmosphere, and I had lightning in my laboratory. Now, this was autonomous. This was accidental. I did not in any way envision that, but it indeed happened. There was another incident in which I was experimenting, and I had a piece of metal that was, if you will, suspended over the instrument. Now, it's always been my contention that scalar energy is the initial energy, and that therefrom you have electricity that is a derivative of scalar energy. Well, right next to the scalar wave, I could touch the metal and it would not shock me. But on the other end of the metal, I had an electrical shock. Now, what's my point? As this piece of metal was suspended over the scalar wave, this part was immersed in scalar energy. As I moved to the end of the metal piece, I had an electrical shock. So the scalar wave traveled through the metal and then degraded, or was, if you will, downgraded into electricity, and I got a significant shock, electrical shock, on the other end of this cantilevered piece of metal. It was a lesson to me that scalar energy does indeed, if you will, degrade, downgrade, convert into electricity.
So it will convert. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm definitely not a scientific type, so if I was, I'd probably have a million different questions, but this sounds like it's got a lot of potential. I'd like to see more people talking about this, and especially intuitives, because I think if what you're telling me, it transcends time and space. There's an awful lot of those types that would want to learn a little bit more about it.
Right.
Would you think?
Of course.
Right.
Of course. This is such a game changer. I would have not have spent my life with this pursuit if I did not see the prospect here. If I did not see this is going to be such a game changer. Again, it's free energy from the sun and the stars. Nikola Tesla established that. All you have to do is tap into this free energy. You don't need to drill for oil anymore. The stars are the sources of power.
Well, yeah, that would be a game changer. So other than what you've already told me, what else can we reasonably expect for the future of scalar energy?
You know, this great scientist, Viktor Grubenikov, he had a very simple flying platform, an anti-gravity platform. I think we can recreate his work. It's already been done, but he was in Russia at the time, and the communists would not allow this to be released to the general public. But I think we'll be able to retrace his steps and develop, if you will, recreate an anti-gravity machine. Now, in so doing, imagine what that will do for us, that this is an easy, safe way of transporting yourself. By the way, you cannot have an accident in an anti-gravity force field. You need gravity to have a collision. So this type of transportation is accident-free.
Kind of like the Jetsons, that type of thing. And it might also explain ancient craft, I believe, in India. This is 10,000 years ago. They had these machines called Vimanas, which were flying machines. I think they might have had something to do with anti-gravity. Is it possible that this type of technology could be eons old
In some respect, it is eons old. If you look at many pyramids or obelisks, they capture scalar energy in and of themselves. They are some type of a beacon, if you will, of scalar energy. So what am I getting at? Yes, I think many cultures realize that anti-gravity was really just a fact of life. Today, it's a wonderment, but you simply have to negate the certain scalar wave and you have anti-gravity. Scalar energy creates gravity. And in order to have anti-gravity, you just negate that type of that intelligence. And you have what? An anti-gravity force field.
Okay. All right. I guess all of us mystics, intuitives, and fans alike have our homework cut out for us. Anything else that we should know?
There's so much. Study Tesla. Tesla was the first man to harness scalar energy. If you look at his career, the latter part of his career, he was working almost exclusively with scalar energy. His inventions later in life, if you look very closely, there's no wires. It's all wireless. His inventions were capturing scalar energy from the atmosphere. There's no moving parts to his inventions. There's no wires or very few wires. And he's not hooking up, he's not attaching his instrumentation to any transformer or induction motor. Meaning what? Meaning the stars are the new induction motor.
Very, very interesting. Tom, thanks for joining us today. How can our listeners find you online?
My website, scalarlight.com, S-C-A-L-A-R, scalarlight.com. This is the website. We offer everybody in the world 15 days of quantum healing. Avail yourselves to that.
Excellent. I will put that in the show notes and the transcript as well. You've been listening to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. For more info, please go to closertovenus.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.